Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for Big Brother 19 on the morning of July 17th. I am your host, Taryn Armstrong, and today I am joined by some wonderful guests. First is my American Ninja Warrior co-host, Lita. How you doing, Lita?
I'm good. You know, I was really nervous about coming on this. I didn't know if I could do it, if I could come back on the update. But then Cody appeared to me in a vision and he said, just picture your loved ones at the end of this podcast and then you can make it through. And then I was really inspired. So I'm here. I'm back.
I'm very glad. Jedi Ghost Cody is very inspirational. So I'm glad that he appeared to you. I am also here with Alex Kidwell. How you doing, Alex?
I'm good. I'm not sure if I want to go with Cody Wan Kenobi or Obi-Wan Cody, but there's something there.
I feel like Cody missed out by not telling Paul before he was evicted, if you strike me down, I will become more powerful than you can possibly imagine. I will be a ghost in everyone's ear. Yes, that was a great moment. I really hope they do more of that. Because I feel like we lost Cody, but we don't need to lose Cody's ridiculous edit, right? We can still get that. We are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the feeds. And there was a lot more back and forth with this whole pawn situation, but we'll get into it. To start the day off, we had a lot of Dominique still being upset about Paul. She kind of talked this through a little bit. I think I kind of figured out why she thinks that Paul is a snake. Obviously, Paul is a snake, but it's hard to know why Dominique thinks so because she won't tell anybody else. The main piece of evidence does seem to be the thing that Paul was able to discredit, which is she feels like Paul must have told Elena that Dominique was saying bad things about Elena, because she feels like obviously Mark didn't. She trusts Mark that Mark didn't tell Elena, and Alex couldn't have told Paul because she didn't name names to Alex. So Alex couldn't have possibly told Elena that she said these things, which is obviously like, I believe Alex is in fact the one that told her, because it was obviously about Elena and Alex was able to pass that on. Right, Alex?
Yeah. Well, I think it confirmed in the episode last night, because Alex says it in the DR that, like, okay, so you're obviously talking about Elena. Like, it was pretty easily inferred for Alex. And I think for most people who were listening objectively to that conversation, we were all very aware who she was talking about. And yeah, I mean, it's just, again, like this kind of weird thing where, you know, Dominique, I mean, good read on Paul, but such a bad read on Elena. I don't know why she was so sure Elena was targeting her when Elena, like, actually was the person that probably could have saved her.
Because she's jealous, remember? Because girls are automatically always jealous of each other. And that's the reason for everything that ever happens in the house.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's a true fact, actually. I think what happened is that, like, Dominique legitimately thinks that because she didn't name names, Alex couldn't have done it. And so she thinks it must have been Paul, even though it wasn't Paul. So it's like, does she have a good read on Paul? Or is it sort of like the Alex situation where she made a good move for the wrong reasons, where she's like, she thinks Paul is the bad guy, but for terrible reasons. Like, here are the two things. Granted, she could come out and say more. She could say that she has more information. And again, like, what she's saying about Paul is true for the most part. But the two reasons she's been able to state are Elena knows that I was talking bad about her, which comes from Alex, not Paul, and God told me Paul's name three times. So there's not a lot of concrete evidence that she has against Paul. I'm not sure that she has the right information here. I don't think she has a good read on Paul. I think she just happened to stumble upon the person that is, in fact, in charge of things, which, if anything, is the worst possible situation for her, because then Paul is now turning it around on her and making sure she goes home. Right, Lita?
Yeah, I mean, normally I could say, oh, well, she just has really good instincts. The fact that she doesn't necessarily have these reasons may just speak to she has really good reads on people. But we know that that's not true in general, because, like, Alex, what you said about her terrible read on Elena, like, she doesn't have good reads on people. We can't chalk it up to her instincts. She just, like, doesn't like Paul, and he has the qualities of a snake and all these things that Dominique is saying, like, oh, he's familiar with his environment. That makes him a snake. Yeah. Like, all these things that are based on nothing. So I can't give Dominique the credit of just having good instincts.
What's more concrete than the word capital W?
Yeah.
And I mean, that's another thing that lock that up to an instinctual, you know, ability that she has, but we just don't see any evidence of that.
Yeah. And, you know, we made fun of her for saying, like, has snake-like qualities in that argument in the heat of the moment. But then she did yesterday say, no, seriously, if you think about it, Paul has a lot of similar qualities to a snake. And it's
and she said this to multiple people. Yeah. She's been like, because she doesn't use names. She's like, who do you think I'm talking about? And Jessica's like, I don't know. And she's like, but think about the qualities of a snake. It's like, girl, no one knows as much about snakes as you. Like, is she a secret herpetologist? I don't understand why she has all this information about snakes.
Yeah, the only person who could save her now is like if Bindi Irwin's in there casting votes.
Yes. Oh, I love Bindi Irwin. That'd be great.
She's going to like Paul's going to be sleeping and he's going to be kind of like squirming around. She's going to be like, ha, ha, ha. See? Look at him. Look
I
at
told
him
slither. You. Yes.
Yes. This has gotten to the point where even Paul wants to dress up as a snake as much as they're like snake skin clothing during the veto ceremony and or live eviction. Lita, do you have an opinion about this?
Yeah, I do, because he has threatened to wear more than just a snake costume to bother Dominique. He has talked about using a black face mask, and that is way, way, way a bridge too far. Like, this is something that he cannot go through with, and I think the fact that he's even talking about it is absolutely abhorrent.
He's not thinking this through at all.
No.
At all. Twitter's already, like, projecting, reasons and, like, you know, maliciousness behind this thing that I don't think are there. But if he goes through with it, I mean, it's a very difficult kind of thing to defend, because like if you listen to like the conversation and the conversations that built up to it, like it's very clear he's just trying to like think of like ways he could look like a snake. But there's like just a snippet that's now circulating on Twitter that by in and of itself just kind of looks like Paul's trying to like do blackface to like get under Dominique's skin, and that's a horrible look. Like, you don't want that anywhere near you or your like friendship brand.
Yeah, I don't think he's thinking clearly. I think in his defense, I think that he doesn't intend it to be in the way that it comes across. I think that from what I read, there's like a green face mask and a black one, and he was like, oh, I'll wear the black one because that matches the rest of the snake costume. However, it does definitely give the wrong connotation here, and you should be staying away from any kind of face that is black.
Well, especially, and it's like Paul doesn't necessarily know this the way we do, but like just the knowledge that like, you know, this is already a factor, right? Dominique is talking about like she can't campaign the way maybe she wants to because she's very cognizant of being the only like, or just, you know, her and Ramses are like the only black people in the house. I mean, so it's just a very different kind of situation that she's already in. And I think like Paul and, you know, pretty much all the other white people in there are completely unaware of how this could potentially come across very, very badly.
Yes. Hopefully production shuts this down before he wears any kind of thing. You can wear the snake thing. Just leave the mask.
Yeah. And I think we're all in agreement that this is not something that he's doing maliciously, and it's just he's just really, really dumb and not thinking. I mean, in this context, he's just not thinking. Like, I don't think any of us are like saying that this is an attempt to be racially insensitive.
I do think the idea of dressing up as a snake in general, I think that's kind of fun. So hopefully he's able to go through with that without the mask. So we also had Josh talking a lot to Dominique, and I would call this good jury management if Dominique was going on the jury. He's like, I respect you a lot. you know, you're a great person. I guess if she is going to come back in the battle back, this will come in handy for Josh. He's doing some pretty good work here, maintaining the line between she's trash talking Paul, who is a trusted ally of his, and, you know, saying, I don't necessarily agree with you, but I'm hearing you out, and I appreciate who you are and all of that. You're a human being. I'm a human being. Are you appreciating what Josh is doing here, Alex?
Well, I think the problem is like you're thinking of it probably the way people should be thinking of it, which is like as a transactional social thing in the Big Brother house. Like this, putting in this work now can potentially get me this later. I don't think Josh is that calculated. I think this is just a natural reaction to a moment. And, you know, it'd be nice if we saw him like put in similar work with people who might be going home on jury, but I just don't necessarily see that being the case. I think Josh is someone who felt very much on the outs at the beginning of this game. I mean, they still reference, like, even just last night, I was listening to a conversation between him and Alex where they're talking about how he probably should have gone home already because of the whole thing with the Golden Apple and Megan, but like somehow he survived that and now he should be good. But like, you know, it just, it all comes back to Josh spent a lot of time in this game feeling like he was completely alone and by himself. And so he has like a soft spot for other people that seem very clearly in that spot. And enter Dominique, who's like talking to herself in verse and not eating and like doing all this stuff. Like she is clearly exhibiting the behavior of someone who's feeling alone. So Josh is sympathetic. I just don't think that he's thinking about it from like a how can this help me win Big Brother standpoint.
Yes. And another funny thing about this is that, you know, they had that huge argument a couple nights ago and everyone's like, wait a minute, tell me again what Dominique did wrong. I'm having trouble remembering. And like, there was this whole complicated thing and Paul did a really good job of just totally gaslighting and turning things around. But it is a case, it keeps coming back up. Like, what, why are we mad at Dominique again? Oh yeah, she's acting weird now. Like her, if she wasn't acting the way she was right now, if she was talking to people more and like harping on Paul less, I do think that she would be able to get back in their good graces because they barely understand why she's not in their good graces in the first place. All she needs to do is try to open up more and talk to people more, but it's just not happening. She's kind of laying low for now. However, she is planning on doing one big final call out, so to speak, either at a veto ceremony. She asked Kevin if he would do one more interview with her in front of everyone. She has some more ammunition to fire at Paul. I'm not entirely sure what this is. Like I said, as far as I'm aware, those two things in the beginning that I said, God telling her Paul's name and the fact that Elena knew that she was talking bad about her, are the only things she has, as far as I'm aware. So if those are the only things that she's going to start railing at Paul against, I'm not sure this is going to work. She also is very upset about Paul disrespecting her religion, disrespecting God. In the argument that they had, Paul was like, hey, stop bringing God into this. He's not playing this game. This is a stupid game. God has nothing to do with this. And Dominique was very upset about this. I didn't know if it was worth mentioning at the time, but Dominique has definitely been offended by it and is upset by it. Paul has gone to her and said, look, I know we argued, but we can still be friends on the outside. Dominique has said to herself, no, that's not going to happen. He disrespected God, and that's not okay in my book. I will never respect him. Lita, what do you think about all that?
Yeah, well, okay, so a couple things. First of all, her plan to do this call out of Paul on the show, I think, is a little half-baked because now people are talking about not even going to the show. Like Elena was saying, like, oh, like, I'm not even going to like go and watch it. Like the Dominique show has no pull anymore. Like, it's just not something canceled. That people even like care about. Yes. Canceled mid-season. I think that is not the best plan. And then with regards to the religion thing, I think that it is so tough because it must be frustrating for someone who like Paul is not super on the same page when it comes to religion, for someone to constantly invoke this thing that is not relevant necessarily in his mind. But in the Big Brother house, if something, it doesn't matter if it's God or if it's pizza or whatever, if something is the most important thing in someone's life, like, I don't know, maybe don't like go after that in a big explosive way, just because that obviously is going to create a ton of tension. And then feel bad and be like, well, we can still be friends. Like that doesn't play well to me. I think it's not a great look on Paul. And I understand that it's frustrating, but as an experienced player, he should know how to kind of navigate those factors that are annoying to him.
Yeah. I mean, right. I think, you know, his outburst was genuine and then he's trying to do damage control now, but it speaks to that, you know, Paul is not like the perfect Big Brother player. He does make mistakes and he is an emotional person. He does like tend to, you know, do things and then need to overcorrect. And, you know, that's kind of part of what makes it fun to watch, to see if he can keep all this going, you know, because he's having to do a lot right now. But yeah, I mean, it's tough, right? Because Paul isn't disrespecting her religion. Paul is just saying that, like, he doesn't feel like it has a place in this game. And like, I can sympathize with that, because I mean, there's been countless examples, you know, in sports of athletes saying like they thought God was with them. I mean, I remember hearing like John Kitna, who was like a really, really bad quarterback, used to say it all the time. And it's like, you know, when he would have a great game, I remember one time he said like, God played through my body. Like he actually believed that. And it's like, well, maybe, but then where is he the rest of the time, John Kitna? Cause you've had a terrible career. So it's just, it's hard for me to fathom that he's involved in these games. And, you know, whether or not religion is important to you, I just think like, there's just so many factors involved with these games that don't need to be, you know, really like bringing that to the forefront of everything. Like, I think Dominique is like doing herself no favors in the way she's using that to sports. I went off the rails there, but
no, I'm okay. Here. I got
yeah,
you.
Yeah, well, it's a Detroit analogy. I thought you'd be with me on that, right? But
yeah, but it's so hard because to Dominique, like this is like fact. You know, it just is true, and so I think that people in the house need to work with that information. And instead of spending time being like, hey, Dominique, like that's not valid, they need to find ways to strategize around it and like accept that this is just something that Dominique knows in her mind, this is a fact that God is speaking to her. So it doesn't matter if it's irrational or anything like that.
Well, and then the other factor is this idea that she's going to do something, you know, like, I mean, you know, she's pushing it too late, you know, like today, soon, within hours, we're going to have the renomination situation. And she doesn't really, you know, fully appreciate, I don't think, that she's going to be in a position where like the only possible flip she could get would be at the expense of Mark, potentially. So, I mean, we'll see exactly what happens. You know, if it turns out the veto's not used, then maybe she has more wiggle room. But if she waits to do something until after the veto is used and Mark were to go up, then, you know, even at that point, I think she's going to be very unhappy with the results. Best case scenario.
Yeah, I think that, you know, in that moment, Paul was voicing the frustrations of the house guests. They have expressed to him afterward, like, yeah, I'm kind of with you. Like, this is very annoying that she keeps bringing this up. However, in the moment, that was the one moment where I feel like he started to lose people because, you know, no matter how frustrated you are, that's just you shouldn't go there. Right. Like, it's a very sensitive topic. It's something that people hold very dear to themselves, and he should know better than to expect that she would be okay with this if he's going to go after it. And so it's like I said, this is what I said on the recap I did with Liana. I feel like Paul was much too aggressive in that conversation. That's probably where it was. I feel like he will never earn Dominique's respect back. And so it's very good for him that she is going out pre-jury, because she would be a very bad juror member for him to have. He should be very, very hopeful that she doesn't come back in this this battle back.
Yeah, and I think regardless 100%. Of what the issue is, you know, I mean, when you've got a situation where somebody is like holding all the cards, I mean, Paul, multiple weeks now, he's in a power position. Dominique, you know, rug pulled out from under her, you know, no cards left to play, seemingly. It's always going to be a bad look when, you know, you're berating somebody who is on the outs in the house. I mean, their game is taking them the direction of the door anyway. Like, there's certainly no need for you to like come down on them any further.
Yes. All right. So we have more people talking about this idea of like, hey, you know what? You should probably target Matt next week. He's been eating way too much cereal. it's really getting annoying. Jessica and Kevin both seem to be like, yeah, we want to target Matt. Josh definitely wants to target Matt, and Alex and Paul are okay with that. If Josh goes after Matt, Amanda asks, who is Matt? It's the guy that wears the blue shirt or the orange shirt, and he eats a lot of cereal, and he occasionally kisses Raven.
Yeah, everyone's like mad at Matt for having two shirts. I don't understand that. Like, do you guys understand what happens with Big Brother Wardrobe? Like, Matt didn't know the game, right? And so he came with shirts that had like branding on them or like various things that they can't show on national television.
Yeah, like
so
a
they
big
went
cookie
through
Matt's
shirts
shirt,
and they
like...
said, nope, here you go. And they left Matt with two shirts. Like, it's not Matt's fault that he's in there with two shirts. People are like so up in arms
so,
about this.
Alex, what you're telling me is that we should blame the fact that he only has two shirts on you for not telling him to bring plain shirts into the house. This is all Alex's fault.
You know, by the time I found out Matt was like in deep with casting, he was already like, he might as well have already been in Sequester. But if Matt was smart, he would have consulted me, knowing that he is a coworker who knows somebody who talks about this show all the time. And I would have been happy to tell him to, you know, go ahead and prepare for this.
Lita, are you fond of Matt's fashion choices?
You know, Matt looks good in anything he wears, so he can only wear two shirts. That's fine. I just imagine that like all of the other shirts that he had were like cereal brands, and so he wasn't allowed to wear those.
Yeah,
like that was not approved by Kellogg's.
Yeah, there you go. I feel like personally, I think Matt is in a lot of trouble moving into next week. I think Matt and Ramsey's are probably the top two targets for next week. However, with the battle back looming, that could all change. But they seem to be the two names on the top of people's minds the most. It seems as though if Paul's side wins, they're going to nominate Jess and Ramsey's, trying to take out Ramsey's. If Alex's side wins, they're going to nominate Matt and somebody else to target Matt. So we'll see. Jessica, by the way, has been doing some decent work here. She's been integrating even more into the house. She's even like running around, throwing like powder on people. she's socializing. I'm liking what I'm seeing from Jessica. Are you, Lita?
I mean, a baby powder fight is the ultimate bond. You can never break an alliance once you throw baby powder on someone. So she really has truly the greatest social game. But
it gathers your souls to it, intertwines them together for the rest of your life.
Yes. But no, I do agree with you. She's doing well and she's coming off way more likable, obviously, now that she's not holed up with Cody, and she's doing better justice to the name Jessie Graff. So proud of her. Yeah.
Martin says, Jess is better as an undercat. Yes, definitely. I think most people
are everyone is.
Yes. And Brent in the chat saying, Jessica for the win. He called it.
My winner pick two.
Let's not.
Just want to say.
Let's not rush to conclusions
quickly
here.
Quickly the tables turn.
Yeah. It's like, Jess is everyone's winner pick. And then like, oh, no. We recant. No, we don't like this.
Paul wins HOH. Dead girl walking. Alex wins HOH and doesn't target her. Yes! And just like, bang.
Steve Vauna, what podcast do I need to listen to understand Undercat? We talked about it during Big Brother Canada. Basically, everybody loves an underdog, but the Big Brother audience even more loves cats. So if you combine underdog and a cat, it's like the ultimate form of likability. So that's what an undercat is.
Yeah, definitely not underfish or over those.
Oh, no. Yeah. We could probably do under puppy. There's some puppies on the feeds now. Are you, Alex, I know you're a dog person. Are you enjoying the puppies more than the cats?
Yes.
Definitely. Oh, I feel like that's the most controversial thing you've said in the entire.
It could be. I mean,
worse,
you know,
than homeless Big Brother.
I've had some bad experiences with cats in my life, Darren. You know, you think they're all nice and you're petting them, and you know, dogs don't bite the hand that feeds. Cats just don't
Alex,
care.
Alex, you're talking to the wrong
no
people
reason.
About this.
Yeah, well, I don't care. I was asked.
All right. Amanda in the chat asked, according to Terrence Twitter poll, everyone seems to be voting for Jessica for the temptation. Is that what's happening? Who do we think is going to be voted for the temptation? I have put up three polls over the course of the last like week and a half or however long this thing has been up for. The first one was Alex. Alex was winning that poll. However, once the week ended and we started this week, it turned into Jessica, who is in the lead. And this final one has Jessica in the lead as well, although Dominique is pretty close. However, I don't think Dominique had enough support in the previous sections of the week to overcome probably Jessica. So as far as my poll goes, it seems as though Jessica is probably going to win this temptation. However, who knows how accurate my poll is when the entire casual audience is watching and it's not just Big Brother OTT. However, it did predict that Christmas would get the temptation last week. So I can see Jessica getting it. Do you, Alex?
Well, and there's still so much time left. I mean, they definitely did confirm like voting will continue through, you know, I mean, at least, you know, the 19th. Right. So, yeah, there's a couple more days. But I mean, I think it's going to be Alex, personally. I really do. I mean, I feel like that episode last night was very positive for her. She got a lot of airtime, and it really did come off looking as though she had, like, I mean, it presents it as though like her plan was enacted perfectly, right? Like everything Alex envisioned came true flawlessly. And this was just like something she saw that no one else saw. So, I mean, I think from that perspective, like it's very easy to see how it could be Alex. I agree with you. I think it's too little too late on the Dominique front. Like, I know that push is coming in hard now, but I think this vote, this poll was open for so long. And, you know, I think that's the problem. When people can vote 10 times a day, I think that that is going to come far too late. So, yeah, I mean, I think Jessica's a possibility, but I think for sure it's going to be Alex, because I think everyone else has reasons why maybe not them. And I just think Alex was either like a likable underdog or like, you know, go get him as the HOH kind of a thing. Like, there was no point during this voting period where people were down on Alex, really.
Yes. And so it seems as though I agree. I think it's Alex or Jessica at this point. However, there's still a ton of, as I mentioned, there's a ton of back and forth about this whole replacement nominee slash using the veto. Basically, it's been throughout the entire day. I didn't note down every single time it happened because I figured we can just do the same thing I did yesterday, which is that they thought, oh, we should use the veto. We'll put Mark in his up in that spot. And then they talk to Mark and it goes away. It's gone back and forth all day. And at the very end of the day, it seems like they've kind of settled on not using the veto. And Brent asks, if the veto isn't used, do we think Jessica is 100% safe? At this point, I have to say, maybe not 100%, but very close, right? Right, Lita?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, nothing's 100%, but I just really don't see how this could go another way. I mean, who's leading the charge to flip the house against Jessica and can do it successfully?
Yeah, I agree. Even Mark at this point is not campaigning for Dominique, so it's hard to find any way that Dominique stays, unless for whatever reason she finally comes up with some new information to strike at Paul and people think, well, we need Dominique to take on Paul because Paul is such a threat. But that's a lot to happen in just a couple days, so it's not particularly likely.
I mean Mark said that he doesn't want to be associated with Dominique because she's so willing to throw Elena under the bus, which is funny just how much more loyal to Elena Mark is than Elena is to him. I thought that was like an entertaining thread this week.
Yes. So one of the reasons why they ultimately seem as though they've decided to not use the veto as of right now is because Kevin had this this talk with Christmas where he just blabbed so much information to her. Like, okay, Christmas, here's what's happening. You're gonna freak if you know who Jason is gonna nominate next week. It's gonna be two guys. It's gonna be crazy. And oh yeah, they're thinking about putting somebody else on the block right now. And Christmas is like, what is happening? Are they gonna target somebody else? He's like, I don't know, maybe. And it's just like, it was a total mess. And then you know, she eventually is like, no, well, we shouldn't use the veto then. We should make sure that Dominique is still the target. And so Kevin runs to Jason and he's like, man, God, I don't know if we should use the veto anymore. And he's like, why? I was talking to Christmas about it. He's like, how did Christmas know anything about this? Like, wasn't me. I swear it was. I didn't say anything. I didn't say a word to Christmas. I don't know how she knew. I don't know why she was talking to me about it, but she was. And this is a crazy situation. I mean, I like a lot of what Kevin has done, but this is not his finest hour, Alex.
No, it's really not good. And yeah, I mean, you know, this is really, you know, all culminating in them probably not using the veto, like you talked about. Like, that's kind of where they left it. But then also, I mean, in a lot of ways, that's kind of, you know, contributing to Jason doing more of what he wants anyways, because it's really Alex and Paul that were adamant about going after Mark, or, you know, using the veto and putting on Mark. You know, I think Jason would have liked to be able to use the veto and put up Raven, but they just made it very clear at every turn that, like, you don't have that choice. Like, if you use the veto, Mark's going up. And he's like, well, I don't want Mark to go up, so then I won't use the veto. No, you have to use the veto. Well, like, I mean, he's the veto holder. You've got to give him some say in the process here. And I think that's been a big wrench in the whole thing as well. I mean, yeah, like, it really shouldn't matter. None of this should matter. I mean, it should all be done and over. I mean, because Dominique really has just blown her game up out of proportion before really she could do any campaigning. I mean, that's the problem. Like, she's done so much bad for herself since she went on the block, in the ways of like even people that she wasn't even necessarily, you know, like Ramses is like mad at her for, like, you know, random, like, she like said something and then gave me a look. Like, there's just like things she's been doing throughout the course of the last few days that just are leaving her in a position where there's nowhere to campaign. So it really shouldn't matter. But I mean, yeah, when it comes to like some of this, like just stuff that continues to go on, like none of it's going to change the outcome of this week, but it really could undermine the games of like Kevin or Jason or some of these people if they continue to just spin their wheels about it.
Yeah. And Paul just keeps pushing for Mark to go up. And this is, again, another situation where, like, Paul talks to people and he convinces them, oh, putting up Mark is the right move. It makes logical sense. And he's able to bring up points as to why. And then after they stop talking to Paul and they're talking amongst themselves, they're like, wait a minute, why? Why does it make sense to put up Mark? Why are we pushing so hard to put Mark up on the block? And I'm not sure myself why Paul is so adamant about this. Unless he doesn't trust that Mark is going to vote Dominique out, or he really genuinely thinks that Mark is going to campaign to evict save Dominique, which I guess is kind of a valid concern. But I think it gets to the point where you just have to trust that the work you did with Mark is going to be successful. You trust in your own ability here. And I feel like he's putting himself up out on a limb by pushing Mark so hard, because they're like, who is pushing Mark so hard? Why are they pushing Mark so much? And if it gets out that Paul is behind this, because he really is, he's the only one pushing this really hard, it's gonna cause a lot of trouble. It's really putting himself out on a limb.
Yeah, I was like, for whatever reason, I couldn't get sleep all night. I've been up since the last time I podcasted about Big Brother, which is absurd. But so I rewatched last night's episode because I had some time. And, you know, one thing I really noticed that, like, I guess I didn't notice the first time I was watching is, like, there were multiple DRs that Paul had where he's really emphasizing he's very, very cognizant of he's about to lose his safety. And it's really important to him to set up other targets, right? That he's not going to stand out. And it's interesting because I think he's probably already faded in. Like, he doesn't need to do the work he's doing at this point, but he still feels like he has to do work to put other people out in front as potential targets. And I think that's, you know, we know that's what he was doing with Dominique, but I think that's also what he's trying to do with Mark. I think he's really trying to set up Mark as like a good option for next week for a lot of people. Like, he just wants more possible bodies that he can point to as like shady / sketchy people who for whatever reason should go before him. And I think that's a good example of like why he's pushing so hard. I think it all comes back to him feeling like he needs to set himself up for when he's no longer safe. And he's just kind of
a returning player with safety doing way too much. It's unprecedented.
That doesn't happen. I like the idea of him creating targets. I think the problem is that this isn't creating another target. It's just putting somebody up on the block as a pawn. He's not saying Mark is sketchy, we need to put him up. He's saying we need to use him as a pawn and trust him, and that will gain our trust. And I just doesn't fit with what he's doing. I think he's got Matt as a target on one side. He's got Ramses as a target on another side. He's still got Jessica in the house that Anna Alex still hates Jessica. I feel like he's doing enough work to create targets. I don't think he needs to create anything else with Mark. I want to see in his diary room why he's pushing Mark so hard. Hopefully we'll get that on Wednesday night, because
I mean, it might set up Mark as a target just because, like, he's saying, well, we can't trust Mark not to, you know, be not to vote our way. And then because everybody trusts Paul so much, it's like, oh, well, if Paul can't trust him and needs to put him on the block to make sure that he can't vote, then maybe there's something there.
And I could see him trying.
So I think maybe that's what he's trying to do.
And I could see him trying to sell next week. Like, well, he's clearly not a team player. Like, did you see how hard he was trying to protect himself? And like, you know what I mean? Like, there's always that element too.
Yeah.
It's like, if you try to get someone to be a pawn this week and, you know, they're not playing ball with you, it allows you to then next week paint them as some kind of like person that can't be worked with. And I think, you know, maybe there's an element there.
All right. We'll see. It does seem like Kevin is starting to become more and more of a target, though, because it's at this point, I believe Elena has confirmed to Alex and Jason that Kevin was the vote to evict Jillian the prior week. And this whole situation with Christmas really sketched Alex and Jason out as well. Kevin is becoming more and more of a target in their eyes. They think that they can't work with him. They still love him. They still like him a lot. They want to work with him, but they feel like, oh, I don't know if we can trust this guy. Lita, how do you feel about Kevin right now?
Oh, Kevin. I feel like a lot of stuff, a lot of his you know, lack of knowledge about the game is finally starting to catch up with him. However, I do feel like if anyone can kind of wiggle by a couple more weeks just on his personality, it is Kevin. And I mean, that's obviously not a hot take. People have always said like his social game is so strong. But I mean, the stuff with like blabbing to Christmas and starting to get outed to people, it's definitely showing cracks in this kind of very pristine facade that he had up of being trustworthy and stuff. And now Alex and Jason are doing this whole plan just to like try to trap Kevin with the veto, where they want to see if Kevin's going to flip on them. And that's not a good spot to be in, where like your parents are like Cummings are like up with this whole scheme just to like try to trap you. It's not a good sign.
Kevin, I don't think they're going to target him anytime soon. It is true that they, Alex and Jason, considered like, oh, why don't we just throw Kevin up there as the replacement nominee? Obviously it's not going to happen, at least as of right now. And I don't see them actually coming for him anytime soon, but still, this is not a great place to be. You're definitely losing trust in people. But again, his social game is so good that they're still afraid to even talk to him about it. And they still want him to be on their side. And they're still talking about him in regards to their final endgame plans. So it hasn't gone too crazy yet. I think if there are no more hinky votes, there's no more reason for them to distrust him. And he can probably reintegrate himself. But this is definitely not the greatest place for him to be as somebody who's playing a pretty decent game. Right, Alex?
Yeah, well, it's true. But I also agree with you that I don't think this will come back and bite him. I mean, at least not immediately, because I think there's always, you know, there's multiple factors here. There's the, you know, do you really want to waste an HOH on Kevin with so many like actual people who seem to have like all these, you know, legitimate connections that, you know, I mean, there's like a big conglomerate that established itself that Kevin wasn't a part of. So I think for a lot of people, there just is not a reason to take a legitimate shot at Kevin anytime too soon. And then for a lot of other people, like, you know, Kevin always has the play that he should be able to make if he's thinking, which is that like, yeah, I did do that. Paul told me to, which is like a huge thing that you can sell once Paul's no longer safe. I mean, Paul totally told him to do that. And Kevin, unlike Dominique, strikes me as someone that if he were to get into a war of words with Paul, he's going to be composed in the right way, potentially. Like, he's going to be saying the right things and remembering certain things in such a way where Paul is maybe going to get flustered in a way that makes him come off as potentially disingenuous this time. And I think that could be interesting to see.
Yeah, if he's able to sell it correctly, he has a lot of information that can really put Paul under the bus. And that could be his get out of jail free card if he plays it correctly. So, all right, one more question before we wrap this up from Brent. Will Alex's inability to minimally trust Jessica be her Achilles heel? It's certainly possible. This whole thing, Alex just refuses to trust Jessica. She still just doesn't like Jessica. This all stems from week one when Jessica was jealous of Alex and Alex was just not okay with that. And this relationship just it can't be repaired as far as Alex is concerned. She hates Jessica. She wants her gone. She even wants her gone as soon as next week, if possible. And it doesn't need to be that way. Jessica has nobody. Alex, you can use Jessica, right, Lita?
Yeah. And Jessica is trying really hard. And I think doing what she should be doing, where she's like, she goes to Alex and Jason and she's like, oh, well, nobody loved you guys. Love guys. And we totally wanted you in the alliance at the beginning, but all the other people shut us down. And I just feel like Alex needs to start being like, okay, Jessica is desperate. Like, she really wants to work with us. Like, she has nowhere else to go. And like, she's putting in the effort. So like, I don't know what Alex's mental block here is. I don't know what it goes back to, but it's too much and she needs to just let it go. It's a long game. She can't be holding on to stuff from the first week.
I think this goes back to why I feel uneasy about this HOH from Alex. It's like, it feels like a half measure to me, where like Jessica needed to be made into an ally this week or sent home. If you're Alex, I think those were your options and she didn't do either. She's left Jessica around as a player. And if you're Jessica and you win HOH in 2 weeks, I mean, it's just so easy to see a situation where you're able to like reintegrate yourself in the group that Cody built for you, the house that Cody built that didn't include Alex, and just be like, hey, let's get everyone on the same page again this week. I'm going after Alex And it's very easy to see how all these people who were like happy to get on board Team Alex this week at that point would be like, yeah, screw Alex. I never even liked her. You know what I mean? And just move on from that. So it's tough because I think Alex, if she was going to not go after Jessica this week, even if she was going to use her as a pawn, she really needed to bring her in and try to establish something there that keeps Jessica from wanting to just resort to what we know Jessica could resort to, which is just like, well, at the end of the day, I don't trust Alex, so why wouldn't I just target her? That's like very much in play for me right now.
Yeah, she really had an opportunity here. Even though she put Jessica up on the block, she you're able to get her on your side. She's willing to come to your side. She has nobody else, but she's letting it slip, and I don't like it from Alex. Hopefully we'll see something better from her in the future. So that is our live feed update for July 17th. I hope you enjoyed it. People have been commenting about my blinking all this whole time. Making me self-conscious about my blinking. I am a robot. I'm sorry I don't blink a lot. All right. So thank you. Thanks for joining us. We will be live Wednesday night with Scott Dennis, I believe. Right? Our Virgin King, Alex?
Yes.
Oh. Yes, and then,
I was going to try to do an impression of that, and then I was like, I'm not going to be able to nail this.
He's grown up on those BB streets. And then we're going to get Andy Heron on Thursday night, correct?
Yay.
That's right.
All right.
And then I had forgotten, but yeah, I think, isn't there like a Friday night episode all of a sudden this week? You know, I guess we got to work on that now.
Whoops.
Figure that one out. We'll get on that.
Time to schedule. Yeah. So yes, we will be live tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern for the live feed roundtable, or the LFC roundtable, sorry. And my my new project, I will be announcing it tonight at the roundtable. We'll be releasing tomorrow, hopefully. And we will be back tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern for another live feed update. So make sure you stay tuned for all of that lovely, good content. Thank you so much for joining us. We will see you next time.